Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I am your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And please just take a second if you enjoyed this content at some point, right? If this is your first time listening or watching, you might not know if you enjoy it or not. But once you've come to that conclusion, please like. If you're on YouTube, you can hit the little thumbs up button. If you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you can leave a rating or a review. Any of those things would be fantastic. You can download episodes, all sorts of ways you can support the show without ever using me as your realtor. And I would appreciate if you would take a second to do so. Today, we need to talk about mortgage rates. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have zero notes for this episode. I normally have something to go off of, but in this case, I don't. And that's because I'm busy. It's been a very busy last few weeks. I actually had, for those of you in my Leadership Academy that listen to or watch the show, I was at a retreat last week for the South Carolina Association of Realtors. I am a part of a 15 realtor group from all over the state. That we get together once every month or so, and they're just training us to be leaders in our realtor association, and it's a lot of fun, and it's growing me as a person, as a communicator, in a lot of different ways. But last week was insanely busy, and I had 2 days where I was in Columbia, South Carolina, doing the Leadership Academy thing, and needless to say, it kept me busy. I worked straight through Memorial Day weekend, which, by the way, happy Memorial Day, and thank you to those who serve and have served, and those who have, you know, I know that we have different holidays for observing different things military-wise, but I always say those who also have given their lives, obviously. It doesn't matter. We don't need to be in Labor Day or July 4th or Memorial, whatever. Like, whether you serve, have served, or have passed away serving. Those people deserve our respect, in my opinion, for every single one of these military-related holidays. So I hope you guys had a good Memorial Day weekend. For me, it was a working Memorial Day weekend, and I'm not complaining about that because a lot of realtors right now are complaining that they don't have a lot to do, and I'm grateful to not be in that category. Excuse me. That being said, we do need to talk about mortgage rates because I am hearing so much misinformation with regard to the state of mortgage rates in the country right now. And there's just a lot of differing opinions right now. And oftentimes it weirdly falls on the political divide, where depending on if you're Republican or Democrat might determine your opinion on what direction mortgage rates are going. If you guys have listened to very long, you know that I'm pretty nonpartisan in my own personal political views, or at the very least, my views don't neatly fit into either party. And so I don't approach it at all from the standpoint of, well, who's in charge and you know, do I trust them or not? Quite frankly, I don't trust anyone in D.C. And so if you do, that is certainly your prerogative. And I'm going to try not to offend you on this episode, but we need to be honest about something, okay? There is now a new Federal Reserve Chairman, okay? Kevin Warsh took over, was confirmed. He is now the chair of the Fed, okay? And what I have seen some people say is this means that rates are going to come down, okay? And usually when people say that, they mean specifically mortgage rates. I want to explain to you guys why that's not going to happen. At least not right now, right? I'm recording this on May 26th. We're not in an environment where Kevin Warsh is going to bring rates down. Now, the reason why you'll hear that narrative out there is because President Trump has made a big deal about Jay Powell, the former Fed chair, who was sitting Fed chair for a long time, that he did not drop rates when the president felt like he needed to. Now, remember, the Fed dropping rates does not necessarily mean that mortgage rates are coming down. Okay, I'll try to come back to that. Again, I don't have any notes, so we'll see if I successfully make it back to that. But here's the thing. Okay, he brought in his own person, although Jay Powell was also a Trump appointee to the Fed chair way back in the day. Biden kept him. And then, you know, Trump re-inherited him. He's been putting a lot of pressure on Jay Powell that rates need to come down, rates need to come down, rates need to come down. And he and Jay Powell had a big dispute. It's kind of nasty, kind of, in my opinion, unprofessional by both parties. And I have been very critical about Jay Powell on this podcast. I do feel like he misread a lot of the economic indicators and I do think that he was overly partisan in terms of trying to stick it back to Trump. Now, in his defense, Trump was suing him and criticizing him like a lot. There was a lot going on there. But Jay Powell needed to have the country's best interest in mind. And I'm not suggesting that he didn't, but I do think there may have been a little bit of pettiness that seeped into some of his decision making, into some of how he approached his job. I'm pontificating on that. I can't say that factually. I don't know for sure. There's no way for me to know one way or the other when it comes to that. But the part that I struggled with when it came to Jay Powell was that he was so focused on just a few economic indicators, in my opinion, that he kind of missed the big picture. The hope is that Kevin Warsh will take a more holistic approach to the economy and consider a lot more than just a handful of indicators. And I'm oversimplifying things here, but that's a very simplistic way of thinking about it, very simplistic way of approaching it, okay? So all of that to say, the reason why Kevin Warsh is not going to reduce the Fed benchmark rate is because we just had an inflation print just a week or so ago. It was last week. That was very, very high. Inflation is heating up. And that is not good. That is not good at all. If you remember, that's why Jay Powell hiked rates. And one of my biggest criticisms with Jay Powell is that he reduced rates for way too long because he was too focused. He was scared of COVID, scared of all these things. And there's still debate. There will be debate for a long time over what he did during COVID and whether what he did was the correct thing. And then whether he was too late to then go back to increasing rates, right? Because if you remember, during COVID, rates went way, way, way down. That included mortgage rates, okay? Guess what? That's messed up the housing industry for the past several years because we had all that stimulus, functionally, in the system. Once that stimulus got pulled out, then it kind of collapsed the real estate market. And a lot of people have been looking for a real estate crash. Guys, we already had the real estate crash. It already happened. It's been basically the past 3 years, 3.5 years, depending on how you think about it. The crash already happened. People are expecting a 2008 style crash. Well, there's a lot that goes into a 2008 style crash that's not happening in our current environment. However, what is happening in our current environment is now we have inflation skyrocketing again, okay? Why is that? Why is inflation skyrocketing again? I'm not an economist. However, the ones that I trust that have a good track record, they all say it's a combination. We still have tariffs in the system that are still increasing costs in a lot of different categories. But then we also have the war in Iran, which is causing energy costs to go up. Plus, you have all of these data centers being built for AI. That's also causing energy costs to go up. And all of these things contribute to inflation. Guess what? When the cost of diesel goes up, when the cost of gasoline goes up, guess what? When things are being moved around by truck, by plane, by ship, we've got the Strait of Hormuz that there's been all sorts of drama over there. when you have all of these different pressure points, energy-wise, where goods are being delivered to all over our country, and we've got a very large country, right? We import not just from other countries, but from other states. We send things around other states. And that, when it costs, when the cost of gasoline goes up dramatically, that money has to be paid somewhere in terms of when we're moving stuff around from one location to another, from store to store. Like, someone's got to bear that cost. Guess who bears that cost? It's the consumer. At the end of the day, the people buying those goods end up enduring that cost and footing that bill. And so when you have that happen, then that means that the cost of those goods go up, and that is inflation, okay? Here's the unfortunate thing about inflation. People talk about prices going down. That's very, very rare that nominal prices on goods or services go down, right? We see gasoline. Gasoline at some point will most likely come back down, okay? That's an exception. But will the cost of coffee go back down? Will the cost of beef go back down? Will the cost of name whatever it is that has seen a tremendous amount of inflation in recent years? You can pick whatever good is out there. And the odds are that the price of those things is not going to come down. There will be exceptions. But when we talk about inflation coming down, that simply means that the rate at which things get more expensive is slowing. That doesn't necessarily mean prices are coming down. So you need to understand all of that to understand how this all affects mortgage rates, all right? So let's get to the mortgage rate situation. Here's the thing that I find that a lot of people don't fully understand. In fact, I didn't understand it for much of my career as a realtor. I've been a realtor for over a decade now. And for a majority of that time, I didn't fully understand this. Mortgage rates tend to track the bond market, specifically the 10-year yield, okay? The 10-year treasury yield, that's essentially government debt that you can buy and make a rate of return on, okay? It used to be back in the day when we had a war, they would issue savings bonds, okay? It's a similar kind of concept, except there's, if you have any sort of a generalized portfolio, like let's say that you have a 401k or an IRA or whatever, you have government bonds most likely as a fraction, as a part of that portfolio that you have. And the reason is that they don't bring you as much year over year. It's not going to be typically in any given year as much of a rate of return as just investing in the stock market would. But it is stability, right? It is considered that our government will not default on the debt payments that it's making, okay? And so those bonds become a part of a portfolio in order to balance it out. You've got the high risk, if you're investing in a bunch of AI stocks, or if your portfolio has a bunch of AI stocks that it's invested in, that's high risk, right? Those may boom or they may bust. Whereas if you invest in government bonds, then the thinking is, well, unless the entire United States fails, you're going to get that money back in some way, shape, or form, and it's not going to be negative for you. Whereas the stock market could very well be negative one year or multiple years in a row. And so what happens is when people buy more treasury bonds, T-bills, when they buy more of them, then the rate at which they pay out, such as the 10-year yield, comes down. And when more, and that's simple supply and demand, right? There's more buyers for the government debt, so the government's not offering as high of a rate of return. Whereas if there are more sellers, people are selling those treasury bonds, and not as many people buying, then the rate goes up, right? They want more people to buy them, so the government is now willing to pay more in order to get more people to buy our debt as a nation, okay? Where the Federal Reserve factors into all of this is they set overnight lending rates, right? The Fed funds rate has nothing to do with these bonds. The rate of, you know, like right now, I'm staring at the 10-year Treasury rate right now. It's 4.502%, okay? The Federal Reserve doesn't set that. The Federal Reserve sets overnight lending rates between banks. Banks overnight, a lot of people don't think about this, but they need a place to store their money. And the Federal Reserve offers a functionally, again, I'm oversimplifying things, but basically a marketplace whereby they can do that and basically keep the bank's money safe and still making a rate of return. And that's what the Fed funds rate is. Well, the Fed funds rate does indirectly influence these different bond yields because at the end of the day, if you're an investor, you're looking at, okay, how can I get the highest rate possible, right? What's the highest rate possible? And oftentimes that gets reflected in the 10-year yield. Now, here's where sometimes the Fed funds rate can stay the same, but the 10-year yield will differ and bond yields as a whole will differ. It's when the market determines that the Federal Reserve is behind in the game, okay? And so we've seen this happen a few times. We've seen it happen. And basically what the bond market is looking at is a few things. They're looking at inflation, they're looking at jobless claims, and they're looking at the broader economy. Those are, loosely speaking, the main things that they're looking at to determine, okay, is the Fed behind or in front of all of this? And so if they feel like the Federal Reserve is behind from the standpoint of, well, actually, the labor market is getting weaker, and inflation is going down and all of that, and maybe the economy is actually not very strong, and maybe we're about to see stocks drop off, fall off a cliff, more people are going to buy those safer assets like those treasury bonds. And they might say, you know what, we don't care that the Federal Reserve has a number out there that indicates that the economy is strong. We're looking at the data and we feel like the Federal Reserve is behind. On the flip side, when we had last week, that inflation print that came in super hot, the bond market responded, whoa, the Federal Reserve is behind in a bad way. They've got rates too low. And so the bond market, they saw those inflation numbers. Well, guess what? Typically high inflation for a variety of reasons. That means people are still buying, people are still selling, things are still theoretically hot in the economy. That means that stocks theoretically should do well. That's not investment advice. This is just general what you hear people say. And so, well, why do I want to invest in the bond market offering 4.5% when I can get stocks that might get 12, 15, 20% this year, maybe more. And so that's the calculus that investors are doing at the end of the day when it comes to all of this. And so that's exactly what we saw. We saw last week when that inflation print came out, we saw the treasury bills, the bond market, the treasury bond market ended up going up in terms of the yield. And so it went all the way up to, on the 19th, it closed at 4.66%. That is the highest it had been. Let's see. Just trying to go back. I have to pull back 5 years. That is the highest that it had been since roughly January of 2025. Okay. And so that is people saying, listen, inflation is taking off. The labor market is not weakening. The economy is not immediately at risk here. So why are we going to invest the safe assets? We're going to take some chances here. We're going to take some chances as long as inflation is where it is. Now, if inflation started to come down and jobless claims went up, so more people are losing jobs and unable to replace those jobs, that tells you the economy is weakening. The stock market is going to do poorly. And now, as a result of that, people are going to invest in those safe haven assets like treasury bonds. Okay? Hopefully you're tracking with me on all of that. Now, the 10-year yield, currently set at 4.5%, is functionally what sets the 30-year fixed rate mortgage. So again, you have to think about this from the standpoint of an investor, right? And banks that issue mortgages are investors. They need to consider basically how much rate of return they can get with the Fed funds rate versus how much that they can get issuing mortgages. And then also bake in a little bit for uncertainty in the marketplace, right? Uncertainty in the economy. They'll kind of give themselves a little bit of a buffer for that. And so that ultimately is what, and again, I'm being very simplistic in all of this, all right? Talk to an economist if you want a much more specific explanation of all of this. But basically, that's why when the bond market, when the 10-year yield went up to 4.66% on the 19th, no surprise, that same day, we got the highest 30-year fixed rate mortgage print per Mortgage News Daily, which is an aggregator, of 6.75%. Now, since then, both the 10-year yield has gone down. Like I said, it's currently at 4.5. You know, there's active trading going on. It's come down a little bit today. And the current 30-year fixed rate mortgage on Mortgage News Daily, again, May 26, 2026, it's 6.61%. So it's come down a little bit. But that is still, higher than what we had. We went all the way down to 5.99% not that long ago, right before the war with Iran and gas prices shooting up and all of that. And then as soon as that happened, we saw mortgage rates go up. And so what does this mean for the future? Here's basically my very, very basic explanation or prognostication. As long as we have this war going on, as long as gas prices are where they are, mortgage rates are probably not going to get below 6.4% on Mortgage News Daily. And it's going to be, you know, we did have them go down to like 6.29% in April, over a month ago. But gas prices have gone up since then. They continue to go up. And I think as long as that is happening, and particularly while these inflation prints are so high, which again, that's all tied to gasoline. This is all tied. Are you seeing the connection? It's this big domino effect, and it's all tied. It's tied primarily to tariffs and the war with Iran. Until we start to see something normalizing, inflation coming down, which I don't see that happening until gas prices come down or unless tariffs are revoked. And honestly, I think it's probably too late on the tariff side because there's always so much of that in the system. I think it'd probably take 6 months. Like if the president revoked all the tariffs that he instituted on quote unquote Liberation Day, I still think it would be about 6 months before we probably fully saw that change anything in terms of inflation prints. Now, the war with Iran, that is one that if we can find a resolution that works with all parties with regard to that war, that could be a very quick going back to the norm. Now, I say very quick. It still takes a while for inflation and all of these different, like CPI, PCE, these different metrics of inflation. It takes a while for us to get that data, right? They don't publish it daily. It's published usually monthly. And so we wouldn't know right away that inflation is going down. But what would happen is the market investors would start to make the assumption, right? Investors are always trying to predict what's going to happen. That's how you make money, right? You don't make money by seeing what happened. You know, if I'm investing in the stock market, what do you want to do? Do you want to hit on the next big thing? Or do you want to invest in the thing that is already super inflated? You want to hit on the next big thing. So that's what investors are always trying to do. So as soon as there is something that happens that makes investors think, okay, inflation or the job market is going in one direction or the other, they're going to then respond in kind, okay? And they're not waiting for the Federal Reserve to do anything or to say anything. And if they disagree with the Federal Reserve, then these rates that we're talking about are not going to change anyway. Now, what does change, which I've already talked about on the show, is that adjustable rate mortgages and home equity lines of credit are tied to what the Federal Reserve does very directly, okay? And so if the Federal Reserve were to increase or decrease rates, we would see adjustable rate mortgages follow accordingly with what the Federal Reserve is doing, either up or down. At the moment, we don't know what exactly is going through the new Fed chair's head, Kevin Warsh, but we do know that he's already starting with a difficult situation. Obviously, the president wants him to reduce rates. That affects a lot more than just mortgage rates. It's not, you know, the president's not super concerned about mortgage rates. He's aware of them. He's talked about them, but that's really not a super high priority for him. But he does want rates to go down for a lot of reasons, mortgage rates being one of them. And so he made it very clear. He wants Kevin Warsh to reduce rates. The problem is that Kevin Warsh, like, he can set the Fed agenda, but he can't unilaterally say rates are going down. He can say we should reduce rates, but he's got a committee that has to vote on that. And unfortunately, in my personal opinion, Kevin Warsh was not the right person to be nominated for that position in order to convince that Federal Reserve Committee of voting members to do anything. He's not considered a particularly credible Fed chair. I'm not going to get into all the politics of that, but you can certainly do your own research and look into that. There was a Fed Governor Waller who the president was seriously considering to put into the Fed chair. And unfortunately, in my opinion, I felt like that would have been the best person. He already had rapport with the Federal Reserve voting members. Unfortunately, that the president, for whatever reason, looked over him and chose Kevin Warsh instead. And so now Kevin Warsh has this uphill battle on two fronts. He's got both the uphill battle of, in terms of reducing rates. He's got the uphill battle of there's no justification for reducing rates. Like, he should not. There have been times I've come on this show and said the Federal Reserve should reduce rates. Not right now. Not with the inflation prints the way it is. Not with the job market, the employment market being the way it is. He shouldn't. Honestly, he may need to increase rates. And that's what the bond market is pricing in. The bond market is assuming that there will be a rate increase sooner than later. So, sorry, I'm getting in a random call coming through into my headphones, even though it's very frustrating. I tried to silence every single thing on my phone and on my Mac, and I will still have things come through in here. I don't think that you guys can hear that, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Kevin Warsh has the issue of the economic data, the inflation data, all of that says don't reduce rates. But on top of that, let's say that were to change and the economic data were to get kind of nebulous, and it's like, well, maybe there's justification for reducing rates. Now he has to convince the members of the Federal Reserve to do that when he doesn't really have credibility with them. And this is well known. And so we are really not in a great situation with all of that. And so at the end of the day, it's going to come down to what the bond market thinks should happen. And the bond market, because those are investors who care about their rate of return, they're going to do, again, what they think the direction of the economy is going. And at the moment, they think the economy is on the hotter side of things with inflation, all of that. And that, when they feel that way, that means mortgage rates go up. Bond yields go up, mortgage rates go up, et cetera, et cetera. And it's hard to see that dynamic changing anytime soon unless we can wrap up this war with Iran. And so we all hope for that. I don't hope that we wrap up the war for Iran because of mortgage rates. That's like very low on the list. That's like the 50th thing on the list, 50th reason why I'd like them to wrap up that war. And I'm not trying to get political on here. I think we all would like that war to be wrapped up. Like, war is never a good thing for anyone. People lose their lives. People lose their livelihoods. Their homes get bombed. Infrastructure gets destroyed. Like, there's so many terrible things that happen in a war, and we need that. It needs to end. Obviously, it needs to end in the right way, not just pulling out and destabilizing an area and then, you know, everything goes crazy over there. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying, being very simplistic here, it would be better to not have war than to have war. And if they can find a way to wrap it up and to keep, you know, everything safe and to keep the peace between all these different countries over there in the Middle East, that would be the ideal scenario. How quickly or feasibly they can do that, I don't have those connections, obviously, so I have no idea. And as such, I am assuming the worst here. I am assuming that we're going to continue to be in this environment where probably mortgage rates are going to be higher than they've been in a little bit of time, because it's hard for me to see the off-ramp for the war in Iran at this very moment. If that changes tomorrow and when I release this podcast, everything I've said is out of date. Nobody will be happier than me to have a podcast go out that's out of date. I really, really hope that happens, because that would be better for everyone. But there you go. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Not a Greenville-specific episode, but I felt like we needed to cover this topic because I keep getting questions on it. I keep seeing misinformation online, and it turns out this is something that I watch and track very closely. And so I felt like I would share that information with you guys. If you have any questions, let me know. My contact info is in the show notes. And of course, if you like this content, please like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things. Use me as your realtor. I would love that. I said I'm busy. I'm not too busy to pick up another client. If you need a home sold, if you need help buying a home, please let me know. I'd love to help you out with that. So thank you guys so much for watching and listening. We'll talk again next week. I've got, at some point coming up soon, it might be this upcoming week, I need to look at my schedule. I need to do a recapping of my bold predictions for 2026, a mid-year recap to see how I'm doing. So that'll be coming up pretty soon. I always enjoy that episode. So please be on the lookout for that. Subscribe to the show to make sure you don't miss it. And I'll talk to you guys again next time.